What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. And remember, guys, if you don't already, to subscribe to the Locked On Chargers podcast or follow the Locked On Chargers podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And the best place to do it is the brand new Himalaya podcasting app. It's free. It's super easy to use. Has every single podcast you love or that you're searching for. You can follow your favorite shows and creators. You can like and comment. And there's episodic shareable lists so listeners can build podcast playlists by the episode. So make sure to go get the free Himalaya podcast and to follow the Locked On Chargers on there to get the show before everyone else does. All right, guys, so there's a lot to talk about today. I am seemingly a lot to talk about today. I know we're kind of stretching for content here in the dead time, but we do have mini camps starting today, so that's something to look forward to before they really have the deadest period of this season in July, or from June to July, where there's really no contact with the teams. But this is mandatory mini camps starting today, so we should get some good stuff from that. But until then, we did have a question from T Nautical on Twitter asking about the host's other favorite teams besides the Chargers, and then we'll get into the Pro Football Focus's top 50 players list. It's not completed yet, but at the same time, there's a few Chargers that already popped up on the list in really rare territory among some very good players, so I want to talk about that as well. And then we had a question on Twitter asking if any of the Chargers coaches are on the hot seat this season. So I think there's a few that we'll definitely have to mention. And then to wrap up the show today, we'll talk about if this season coming up here is Super Bowl or bust for the Chargers with Phillip Rivers aging and this team ready to compete right now. So let's get it started here, guys, and talk about who our favorite teams are. So, John, I'll end with you because you have the most favorite team. So I'm just going to have you give me like your top seven favorite teams. But David, you do another show, Friars Domination Live, which is kind of the sister to our Chargers Domination Live for San Diego Sports Domination. So I know you're a Padres fan, but what other affiliations and what other teams are you interested in?
Yeah, so yeah, that's pretty obvious, obviously. And I am from San Diego, so yeah, I mean, that's kind of a given. But so I'm casually a fan of the Lakers. I'm not a huge basketball fan, to be quite honest with you guys, but I do follow San Diego State football very closely. I do watch most of their games. I do keep up with them, you know, for the most part. Other than that, I mean, that's pretty much all I do. I'm pretty simple in that regard.
Yeah, I like San Diego State athletics as well. I think the football team is also the team that I follow most closely, but I'm also not, you know, going to every game or keeping up with every single thing that happens with them like I am for the other teams I root for, which are the Lakers, the Padres. I'm a big Padres fan. I used to be more of a Padres fan, and then basketball kind of took over as my second favorite sport. So I'm a big Laker fan. Really love basketball. Really enjoying these finals right now with the Warriors and Raptors. We just started this after the game ended, and that one's going to game six. Pretty crazy game tonight, but big basketball fan. But my big three allegiances as far as sports go, Padres, the Chargers, and the Lakers. So, John, give me your top seven favorite sports teams.
Oh, God. I feel like that would be completely unfair to the other teams. but we all know, of course, I'm a Charger fan. Also, diehard Padres, Lakers, Anaheim Ducks fan. The big part of this is what takes up most of my time in my life, is San Diego State. I'm a diehard fan of them too. I follow the football team, the men's basketball team. I'm at every women's basketball team. I even follow the club teams like the rugby team and the hockey team. And then let's also mention some teams that no one's heard of, like the San Diego Legion rugby team, who are going to be in the championship game this coming Sunday. San Diego Surge women's football team. The San Diego Enforcers, which is a football team made up of military and police officers and those type of guys. And then I'm really big into Team USA, so I follow that across the board, whether it's track, hockey, basketball, their rugby team, whatever it is, I follow it.
Oh, yeah.
I also want to mention the Texas Longhorns as well, but I don't get to watch all their games because I have to buy the Longhorn Network to do that, so I get to watch whatever's on ESPN 5 times a year.
They do still end up getting a lot of nationally televised games. I know I've seen a ton of their games just from them being on ESPN, but hey, who doesn't love the national teams for basically everyone? You know, I think all the USA basketball team, the USA Olympics, I think those are all easy things to get behind. And I think none of us are fans of any other country when it comes to any national competition. So I think we can all sign up for that as well. But with the Chargers leaving there, San Diego has had a lot of smaller sports, you know, pop up like lacrosse with the Seals or rugby with the Legion, who you said, you know, are in the championship game this week. So there's been a lot.
Or the San Diego Sockers, who have won 14 championships.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's our pride and joy right there, the Sockers. I mean, the only team to really bring multiple championships to San Diego. So we do like the Sockers around here as well. But I do want to get into this pro football focus top 50 list. And we're not going to get into it extensively because, hey, it's not finished yet. But we have 31 to 50, John. And a couple of Chargers make the list, and there are a few of the highest graded Chargers from last season to be in pro football focus grading, and that's Derwin James, Desmond King, and Keenan Allen. So I don't think any of those names are a surprise. The lowest one on that list and the highest number is Desmond King at 44. And just to give you, I mean, a little perspective, two above him is Kevin Byard. The next guy on the list is Saquon Barkley. And the one behind him is Ryan Ramczyk. Those are all really good players. And this list is projecting into next season. So this isn't solely based on their performance from last season, more projecting forward. And then Derwin James slots in right ahead of Russell Wilson at 38, which is pretty high praise. And then Keenan Allen even higher than that at 34. And guess who's ahead of him? J.J. Watt. So, John, those are elite players for the Chargers, showing up pretty high on this top 50 list. And I think all of those guys are well-deserved.
They are all well-deserved. And the fact that two of them are extremely young guys makes our future very promising. And the fact that you mentioned all those big names, like even a J.J. Watt is being recognized with some of these guys as far as where they rank on the list, is amazing news. J.J. Watt used to be ranked number one in the NFL top 100. And now we have guys like Keenan Allen and Derwin James not too far away from him. It shows how we're starting to catch up with the league a little bit. And I want to know what you think, Wade, about Desmond King and Derwin James not being ranked higher after the kind of year they had last year.
Well, John, it's hard to argue with them being top 50 players. It's hard to really be mad about that. And we really have to wait to see the rest of the list before we can do full comparisons. But when you're talking about as a player, Derwin James, you know, being surrounded by Kenny Clark and Alvin Kamara and Myles Garrett, all players that are really at the top of their position, it's really hard for me to argue. And just to give a couple of the little tidbits that they gave to us on here, I mean, Derwin James won the PFF Defensive Rookie of the Year, so it's not a surprise to see him on this list, but he ended with an 88.3 overall grade as a rookie, which is just ridiculous. 90 is elite, and I think there was maybe one safety. I think Eddie Jackson was the only one that had an elite grade. And I mean, with how excited people are about Saquon Barkley going into this season and how he was already one of the top running backs, and you have Desmond King right behind him on there with the highest overall grade in coverage out of the slot over the last two seasons. I mean, that's pretty fitting. So, I mean, I think there's going to be more players on this list that might determine whether or not we have a bigger or smaller problem with where these guys show up on this list. But it's really hard to argue. I mean, with Keenan Allen coming in as a top 35 player in the NFL, at least as far as going into this season, it's hard to argue that, David. And I think I'm pretty happy with where these guys have shown up so far.
Well, I think John said it best. I mean, it's not even the fact that they're just on this list. It's that they're young and they're on this list. I mean, wow, Derwin James, a top five talent from the draft last year. And, you know, he slips to 17 and shows everybody, every team in front of him why they should have picked him when he went to his first Pro Bowl and was an All-Pro, first team All-Pro. I mean, wow. I mean, it's just incredible to see how talented these young guys are. Desmond King, a fifth-round pick, just an absolute gem by Tom Telesco. And Keenan Allen, obviously, we know the wizardry that he shows us game in and game out, and the sticky hands. I mean, but yes, the future is bright for the Chargers, and that is obviously very exciting.
Yeah, and then Keenan Allen, I mean, just as far as how many people want to argue about who's, you know, the best receivers in the league and who are the top five, I don't know if he gets enough love because I think most people think he's top 10. But when you look at these stats, I mean, his two-year receiving grade over the last 2 years, 91.2, is fourth amongst wideouts who were targeted 150 or more times. His yards per route run, 2.43, were third amongst all wide receivers. So that means when he's running a route, he's getting the third most amount of yards per route run. That's just a ridiculous stat. I mean, top three in the NFL, top four in total receiving grade. Keenan Allen is legit. He is one of the top three or four or five receivers in the NFL, and I think this list backs that up. So we'll see, you know, how many receivers get put ahead of him, how many safeties get put ahead of Derwin James, if there are any. So I really think that this is a fitting list so far, but like I said, we will get into it more later once this list wraps up, because I think we could still potentially see maybe Joey Bosa, maybe Melvin Gordon, even though I'm not as sure about that one, and probably Phillip Rivers, I would have to think, going into this and what he did last year.
I think it's only going to be Joey Bosa, to be honest. To surprise everybody, I think only Joey Bosa is going to make the rest of this list.
Yep, we'll have to wait and see. But I think, you know, especially since it's not based just on last season where he was hurt, I think there is a good chance we could still see Joey Big Bear pop up on this list going forward. But I do want to get into the next segment talking about coaches that could potentially be on the hot seat going into this season and who might be coaching for their jobs coming up right after this. But first, are you in the hot seat in the bedroom? Because if you are, I can help you out and boost your performance with Blue Chew. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew.com will help you boost that performance in the bedroom. It's not about if you can or can't, but just improving your overall performance, and that's what Blue Chew wants to do. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness, because I think that's really what's keeping a lot of people from ordering Blue Chew right now is the awkwardness and thinking they have to go talk to somebody about it, but you don't. Blue Chew will ship it straight to you, and right now we have a special deal for our listeners. If they visit BlueChew.com, they can get their first order for free with just $5 in shipping. Just pay $5 in shipping, guys, and you could have Blue Chew showing up to your house fast and cheap when they use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys. Well, now it's time to get into a question that we posed on Twitter today, asking if any of the Chargers coaching staff should feel like they're on the hot seat going into next season. But first, we also want to tell you that this episode is also brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip on Instagram when you can book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. You can use those rewards to get hotels pretty much everywhere, guys. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. All right, guys, well, let's get into this. John, I know you have kind of an off-the-wall coach that you want to put up as on the hot seat. I know a lot of people want to go Ken Whisenhunt. That was the consensus on Twitter, and also George Stewart, the special teams coach. But, you know, special teams were a lot better. Ken Whisenhunt has more of that seniority and has been around a lot longer. Who is it that you think is the coach that's on the hot seat this year?
I would have to go with the defensive line coach, Giff Smith. I know he's only in his, like, his maybe third or fourth year with the team, but I have yet to see any improvement with this team. I mean, yeah, he hasn't had the greatest talent with him, but I haven't seen most of that talent really improve. I've seen guys that, like Darius Filon, who were pretty decent, but when they finally got the playing time, they were able to show what they were made of. It wasn't so much a growth. It was more of he finally got that playing time. Because when you saw him when he first came into the league, he maybe got like 5 or 6 snaps a game, but they were pretty good plays that he had. And now that he finally had a chance to play, it showed it. I don't credit that to Giff Smith for making him grow. I credit he finally got his playing snaps. I don't see any of these guys growing. I haven't seen Mebane really improve much. The only guys we have that are really making some damage is Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, but we know how good those guys were beforehand regardless. So I feel like if we don't see an improvement on the D-line this year with what we just got in the draft with a guy in the first round and seventh round that have great potential, I feel like it's got to be him on the hot seat this year.
See, I think that's going to surprise a lot of us. And I think that now it's not really about, hey, how much of these guys improved, even though it is somewhat. Yes, you could say that some of these guys haven't improved. And you could also say that, yes, he hasn't been given enough talent to work with. I mean, I think you saw some flashes out of Justin Jones last year, and it wasn't Giff Smith's fault. They took him in the third round. He was working with a guy that nobody really thought should be picked that high anyway. So I think he's done a nice job with getting some competent play out of some below average defensive linemen in the past. But this year it's going to come down to, hey, you have a lot of talent now. What can you do with it? The talent will not be in question this year for Giff Smith. So I definitely understand what you're saying. David, who is a coach that stands out to you that could be on the hot seat going into 2019?
So for me, I'm looking at the offensive line coach, Daniel. I'm looking at Pat Meyer. And the reason behind that for me is because of the evaluation that Dan Feeney should continue to play guard in the NFL. He is not good. His PFF grade last year was atrocious. If I remember correctly, it was in the 30s. And I can remember on several different occasions his play directly impacting a loss for the Chargers. And especially when you had a healthy Forrest Lamp on the sidelines just doing nothing. I question the evaluation skills. Obviously, Santevi wasn't great. There's a lot of improvements that need to be made. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Forrest Lamp. He hasn't played anything, but it can't be much worse than Dan Feeney. I mean, you got to give him a chance. Let's see what the offensive line looks like this year. If it doesn't show some improvement, I think the seat definitely has to get warm for Mr. Pat Meyer.
Yeah, I really understand that part of it. And I just don't know how much talent he's had. But at the same time, it's either him or Tom Telesco at this point, because how many linemen have been drafted that haven't worked out for the Chargers? So for Pat Meyer, I mean, the Chargers' offensive line woes came before him. He started 2 years ago, so he's only had the last 2 years to really show what he can do. But in those last 2 years, we've seen Dan Feeney show some promise and then regress back to being not a good football player at left guard. He also had Dan Feeney start over Forrest Lamp. I don't know how much of that was his decision, but you'd have to think a bulk of it was, considering that, hey, he's the offensive line coach. I'm pretty sure Anthony Lynn respects what he has to say, even if he, wants to continue that chemistry. So I think this is a big year for Pat Meyer, because I think at the end of this year, if you're not seeing improvement from this offensive line and he can't make it work, even though he does have a lack of talent, especially at right tackle. I mean, they don't have another player right now that can come in and be the answer at right tackle. So it's hard to know how much of that is Pat Meyer's fault. But at the same time, you are the offensive line coach. I mean, if they think that you're a really good offensive line coach, you should be able to take players and get the most out of them. And I don't know if that's what we're seeing. I definitely know that I don't believe that we've seen all that Forrest Lamp has to offer. I know he's had injuries, but I think that if we were getting Forrest Lamp at his fullest potential, he would be a no-doubt starter, and we haven't seen that. So, John, I think Pat Meyer is definitely a guy that is going to come under some criticism if this offensive line can perform. And another guy that's had a ton of criticism is George Stewart, the special teams coach. But last year, he kind of turned things around a little bit. The Chargers special teams last year was not nearly as bad as it was in years past. And it's hard to blame, bad place kicking on him and bad punting on him. But the coverage units and the return game going to Desmond King and returning touchdowns, I mean, I think George Stewart actually turned a little bit around last season.
I'd actually agree with that. And this year, I am really looking to see what he does with a kicker that we believe is going to be the kicker. We have a guy who can return kicks in Desmond King, and you probably have somebody else on the team, I'm sure, that could be doing that job too if you end up wanting to keep Desmond King safe from injury. And the coverage teams with punt and kickoff did improve a lot, and that is something we needed to really improve because we need to get our field position a lot better than what it was back in 2017, where teams were getting some decent returns. I'd say the only problem is Tyreek Hill. Unless if you can't cover Tyreek Hill and that's the only problem you have, then I'd say George Stewart does a decent job at coverage returns. But I would like to mention this, though. When it came to missing field goals and Anthony Lynn said, we're going to blame the holder, do you guys think George Stewart might have brought up that idea? Because that's something that's been bothering me this whole offseason that I've been thinking about.
I think that that's a good a possibility that he'd had to do that. But, I mean, in George Stewart's defense, I mean, who knows how many kickers he basically probably just wanted to get rid of and said they're not good kickers. And at that point with the Chargers, I think they were just struggling to figure out what was going on and just were not just saying, hey, we're just not signing good kickers. I think that should have come to their mind a lot sooner. But you have to think that George Stewart had some sort of say in that because, like we talked about, the offensive line coach. He is the special teams coach, so he should have some say. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about kickers, yes, he can teach someone how to kick, but, I mean, all these guys know how to kick already. You're just either making or missing kicks. I don't think the holds were necessarily always the problem. I think the kickers were the problem, and you saw that once Michael Badgley turned.
Amen.
Once Michael Badgley took over, I'm not going to give the credit to Donnie Jones for being a better holder than Drew Kayser was. I think it was just, hey, you finally got a good kicker who, even before they decided to change, hit every kick that he had in the preseason and then came in to only miss one field goal the rest of the season after he took over for Caleb Sturgis. So I think George Stewart has to be very happy with Michael Badgley because he might have saved George Stewart's job just by being so much better. Between Michael Money Badger Badgley and Desmond King, I think both of those guys saved George Stewart's job. But I think there's a couple other coaches that we could mention. There's not a lot of time to right now, but I think Ken Wisenhunt is a guy that's always going to take some criticism for the lack of creativity with the play calling. So I think he has a chance this year to kind of get those people off of him by coming up with better game plans going forward, because we definitely need to see better game plans from the offense and less stalling and less predictable play calling. Because at some points last season, the offense with the weapons that it had should not have been struggling as much as they did. But we do have one more segment to get into talking about if this year in 2019 is going to be Super Bowl or bust for the Chargers coming up right after this. But we do also want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors over at Grip Six, who are making the best belt in the world and want to give your dad one of those belts for Father's Day. It's a great gift for Father's Day. Your dad could definitely use a new belt, and we have a special offer for you. All you have to do is go to grip6.com/lock. That's grip6.com/LOCKE. There's a brand new special for you guys over there at grip6.com, so make sure you check that out and go get your dad the best belt in the world. All right, guys, running a little long, but we do have one more segment to get into, and it's a big question on every Charger fan's mind right now, and that is, hey, is this year 2019 going to be Super Bowl or bust for the Chargers? I'm not going to keep on saying how we're in Phillip Rivers' Super Bowl window. We all know that, and we all know what these last couple years mean to Charger fans trying to get Phillip Rivers that ring, and now, guys, he has a absolutely loaded roster, and it has to happen now. In my opinion, it is Super Bowl or bust from the Chargers, David, because what else is the other alternative? Would anyone feel good if the Chargers went to the AFC Championship game and lost to the Patriots?
No. Hell no. I would hate that. That would make it even worse. Daniel, it is definitely Super Bowl or bust. This particular topic came for me when I read Adam Rank's article, State of the Franchise, Chargers enter 2019 as AFC West best. If you're a Charger fan, you absolutely have to read this article. It's going to give you goosebumps all the way throughout. And I think the bottom of the article, the last sentence really rang true for me.
But this also feels like it should be the year when they finally put it all together. Maybe 2019 will be when they stop being the groomsmen and actually become the groom. So I guess we'll have to see. Like you said, Daniel, this is the most talented, loaded roster that the Chargers have ever had. I don't think that that's what really can be questioned. So I think they either put it all together and get that ring, or it's bust.
Yeah, and I think that might have to be a segment for another day. I mean, I guess we haven't really, you know, stacked it up against other teams from the past yet. So I think that he brought up another good topic that we will talk about on another show, whether this is absolutely matter-of-factly the most talented roster that the Chargers have ever had. I mean, we still need to know what we're going to get out of these rookies. But if we can get any type of contributions like we've been able to get the last couple of years from rookies, you know, like Justin Jackson and others like that, even in the later rounds, or Hunter Henry, even Melvin Gordon produced as a rookie, even though he didn't score a single touchdown. Derwin James is one of the most productive rookies ever, in my opinion. So I think that's a good question to ask if it is the most talented roster ever. But you're right. I mean, this is the time. If Phillip Rivers maybe has this year and next year at playing at the level that he's currently at, and with the amount of talent that you have, everyone likes to talk about how talented a team is. And everyone also likes to forget that all of these guys for the most part, are very cheap right now on rookie contracts, and you're not going to be able to pay everyone. This last season, probably the most talented guy you let walk away is Tyrell Williams, which is something that you can stomach and say, hey, we'll figure it out. But there's going to be much bigger names that the Chargers are not going to be able to sign, John, in the future because of how productive they've been in their short careers on those rookie contracts, that this has to be the time, because eventually you're going to run out of money to spend on this young nucleus of, you know, defensive stars and offensive stars. I mean, Keenan Allen's on a really reasonable contract. Casey Hayward is as well. Hunter Henry's still on his rookie deal. So is Bosa. So is Melvin Gordon. So is Derwin James. So is Desmond King. Like, you're just not going to be able to pay all of these guys top dollar. And that, for me, combined with the fact that nobody would feel good about even probably making it to the Super Bowl, let alone, you know, not making it to the Super Bowl and exiting in an AFC championship game. No one's going to be happy with that. So I think based on those facts, John, it has to be Super Bowl or bust.
Well, I'm not really the person to comment on this kind of conversation, because every year is Super Bowl or bust for me. I don't care if we were 4-12 the year before or if we won the Super Bowl the year before. I don't accept anything other. I know a lot of fans were really happy that we were 12-4 and won a playoff game and actually made the playoffs for the first time in a while last year, but I expected a playoffs. I don't expect anything less than success. So as far as that goes, I'm not really the person to talk about this with, but I do agree that those contracts are going to be big. But something I thought about was, there's supposed to be a lockout coming up, or there's going to be a new deal reached with the CBA. And with how the NBA increased its salary cap, and guys that are like the seventh guy on the roster are making more than a second string wide receiver in the NFL could increase their salary cap, which could help us pay for some guys as well. So I think we might have an easier time maybe when these contracts go up at keeping some of these guys, but there's just so many that you're still going to lose a good chunk of good players, but you might be able to keep a few more. So it has to be now or never if it comes to this roster.
Yeah,
that's such a great point, John. That's such a brilliant point, man. I really got to give you credit for that, man. That I did not even think about the CBA. So to think – you know, how that will change. I mean, come on. The NFL makes so much money, gobs of money. There's no way that they're going to have a new CBA without the players making more money.
Well, but there's an important thing to think about when it comes to CBA negotiation, guys, is it's always a push and a pull. You know, hey, maybe the NFL will give them medical marijuana usage, but they want something in return. I think with the players, the one thing that they really want, and I don't know if they'll be able to get, is guaranteed contracts. I think there's too far of a gap right now between how much of these contracts are guaranteed and how much of it's really just fake money getting thrown out there that gets the ripcord pulled on them a few seasons in. I think there's just so much. Hopefully they get a deal done before the 2020 season when this could all really come crashing down and when things get really real as far as a lockout, because we've seen some lockouts in the past and it's never fun to see what these guys have to do and just to see these players stop getting paychecks and have the fans, you know, not seeing games. That's the worst case scenario. But in my opinion, guys, it doesn't really change things that much, because I think even if you raise the salary cap, and you've seen it in basketball even, guess what? The max players, the top players at their positions, they just get a higher percentage. So they're still getting pretty much the same percentage of the salary cap, and those guys' deals on the top end just go up. So I know it's nice to think of a salary cap getting raised, and I do think it'll help some, but I think that's just going to make those, you know, quarterbacks and those edge rushers and all those top premium paid positions just get paid that much more and still leaves you to try to fill in the gaps elsewhere. So I think that there is help coming on the horizon with the CBA. I think the salary caps will go up, and I think that it might help, but I still think, guys, it has to be Super Bowl or bust right now. And none of us are really saying that it's not. I think we all agree it is Super Bowl or bust right now. You have Phillip Rivers. You don't ever know when a next quarterback is going to come in and give you the type of production that Phillip Rivers is giving you right now. There's a dark cloud hanging over the future in this quarterback room. I mean, you just don't know who the quarterback's going to be after Phillip Rivers, because there is no clear successor right now. So you don't feel good about that. But you know right now, if you can just get what you had from Phillip Rivers last year, where he was an MVP candidate for most of the year, that's enough to give you a deep playoff run and potentially get you to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. This is an absolutely loaded roster. And David, like you said from that article, yes, you know, is this finally the year that it comes together? We say that pretty much every single season, it feels like. Every year is this the year that it all comes together? So the Chargers are going to have to put their money where their mouth is, because this schedule is extremely tough this year. And I think that they have to pull out all the stops, whether it means bringing someone else in free agency with the limited cap dollars that you have left, or whatever the case may be. Making tough decisions on sitting players that don't deserve to be on the field is another thing that comes to mind, because this is the time. This is where you have to make the run. It has to be 2019 right now, because you just don't know how many shots you're going to get at it. And like you saw when the Chargers went 14-2 in 2006 and how well they did making it to the AFC Championship in 2007, all of that can come crashing down so quickly, and you can lose rosters like that so quick. And then Phillip Rivers, you know, at times probably never thought he was going to make a deep playoff run again. So everything happens so quickly in the NFL. It evolves so quickly that you have a chance right now. You better be prepared to go and take it and try to win a Super Bowl to the best of your abilities this year. Yes, that's the goal every year. But if it's not now, guys, it might be never, or at least not in the foreseeable future, which is, I think, the scary thing to talk about. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Sorry, we did go a little bit long, but I'm sure you guys don't really mind. Until the next show, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, so you can always get the latest conversations that we're having about your team. Also, make sure to subscribe to us on the Himalaya podcasting app or wherever you get your podcast from, so you can get the show the night before everyone else does. And if you want to get your voice on the show talking about coaches that are on the hot seat or players that should have been in the Pro Football Focus top 50 list, make sure to call in to the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. Every voice that calls into the voicemail line gets on the show. So get your voice on the Locked On Chargers on the next show by calling into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. We will talk to you guys later on in the week, talking about some mini camps and some other big questions we have about this team. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.